ESP class session, January 25, 1972. Reading from the early class sessions, book 4. Seth, the Samari always come home. They have never left home, and they know where home is, and none of you have left your home, and the Samarian in you knows that very well. Tibet. Now, I do not play favorites, and you know that very well, and when you need help, you get it, and when others need help, they get it. Bet. Yes, but I think I was set up for that. After I said that this one, Mary Ellen, told me something that she has been thinking all week, and all I did was mouth her words for her again. Seth, I did not say you were not set up. I just said I do not play favorites. Now you knew what you were supposed to do last week, and it took you a good 2 hours to do it, and now you wanted metal. Bet. No, I don't want a medal. I would just like to know why I did it, because I don't know why I did it. Seth, then you should ask yourself why you did it. And if you quit telling yourself that you did not know why you did it, then you would know what you already knew why you did it. Bet. And you aren't going to tell me why I did it, are you? Seth, you tell me why you did it. I am not used to such goings on. Why did you do it? Bet. I don't know. Seth. It was a lovely benediction. Why can't you leave it at that? Bet. All right. I won't with you. Seth. I'll drop it if you say. Seth. You never drop anything. It would not be nearly as much fun if you did, for I am not reprimanding you. Some Samari come home quicker than others, and some Samari take their time. Some Samari, as you can all see, I am closing Rupert's eyes, so I am sure no one knows to whom I am speaking. Do they, Joseph? Some Samari play games. They are lovely games, but they are games. But there is always an opening door when the Samari come home. Now, I do not want to tell you all the answers to the Samari development, for some of the answers you are to find out for yourselves, and some of the answers cannot happen unless you discover them for yourselves. Now, that is an important symbol. And were our friend here writing it down in the book, I would say underline, for our book is full of such directions as underline. Put that in quotes and semicolon. Note, a pause while Rob answered the door. Seth, I would leave an envelope, but no one would put anything into it except questions, and I have plenty of those. Now, who else do you know except those two people? Note, Jane and Rob. Who would sit for one solid hour conversing in a language they do not understand? And yet, you see, they understand very well. And again, it is a game, for he pretends that he does not know what he knows. And all of you have only to relax and let yourselves realize what you know and follow the Samari development when our friends here are not physically with you. And on their return, I will answer your questions and I will have some of my own. And I will keep you good and busy. Bet. If I don't ask you any, will you not ask me any? Seth, I am not making any such bargains, and you are not in a position to bargain either. Now this time, if it is not asking too much, listen to the sounds that you will hear without questioning. Accept them as you do the paintings and the walls and the lights and the other people in the room as things that are, and perceive them in their own way. But let them come to you as the lights come to you. Otherwise, I would have you learn declinations, and then there will be some stink indeed from that corner over there. Note, Samari came through with a chant for class, then a message to Rob and Sue, then to Rob, Sue, and Bet. Following a discussion of the last part, Seth came through. What did you do with the first part of the Samari chant? that was to all of you. You did not even tell Rupert that that went on. So let's see to it that someone tells him, and then how far along with it you were able to go, and I think we should start with our fine late Sumerian over there in the corner. Note to Rachel. Note, Arnold told of a repeated scene he has had. Seth, you will see more and more, and your vision will enlarge as you go on. And the Samari chants are to lead each of you further into your own realities. Now, you do not properly listen to what I say, and if the proofreaders were reading that sentence, they would change it to, you do not listen properly to what I say. But I mean, you do not properly listen, and there is indeed a difference. So while classes are formally suspended, I want each of you to read our class sessions. There are hidden clues for each of you in those sessions, and each of you know it, and I want you to follow them. And the absence of our friends is a practical absence, and yet it is also a symbolic absence. Symbolic indeed of an absence in the past and a journey of which you are all aware. And a journey you have in some way yourselves all taken. I have been speaking Samari English to you all along. You use language like a fence and hide behind it. And if you will forgive me, we are giving you one quick boot, and we will leave the sentence there so that you will not be able to use language as a hiding place any longer. You will learn to communicate, and you will learn not to hide within the highly specific and inhibiting nature of words as you understand them. You throw them around like a ball in a game, all of you. But if you want to know what we are doing with the Samari language, my dear cousin of Richelieu, we are taking away your ball, and that is why you all feel so uneasy. And suspense is the spice of life, so do not go looking for all the answers in one moment. You would be appalled if I gave them to you. I would be cheating you of the joy of your own self-knowledge. Someday each of you will say, aha, I understand it, I have it. You may forget what you had, but you will know that you knew the answers for a split second, and the tiniest cells in your fingernails will remember. Far be it from me to cheat you. I am indeed leading you on a merry chase. All chases are merry, but a chase is precisely what you need. It quickens your psychic blood and makes you think of your own. And it makes you wonder why you do things. Why you will follow Our Lady of Florence when she gets up and says, we are going to make a circle. Or why you would be kissed by our friend here, the cousin of Richelieu. Why do you do what you do? Now we will continue with our circle. I mentioned once long ago that there would be some examinations in this class, and since I have spoken those words, many have come and gone. But there will be examinations. Bet. But on report cards, right? Seth, my dear cousin of Richelieu, you give yourself a report card that I would never give you. You are much harder on yourself than I would ever be. Note, Molly Pearson said she had been doing this chanting for a long time. Seth, do it some more and let yourself go when you are doing it and don't ask questions. Ask your questions later. Let yourself go with it. Now you may have a Seth break and a Samari break, and I'm sure Rupert is ready for a class break. Note, during break, a discussion of the campfire scene and the sacrificing of a baby. Molly was commenting on Rachel's dream of space without objects and objects without space when Seth came through. Seth, as Rupert would say, hold it! There are objects without space around them. There is space without objects. There is good without evil, and this is simply the state of your understanding at this time. As such, it is legitimate. Molly, in our reality, we don't seem to know. Seth, in your reality, you can. if you let go of the concepts. Now I tell you, and I have told you many times, and regardless of how intellectually confusing it may sound to you in greater terms, there simply is no evil. And as long as you are aware of what seems to be evil effects, then you are still in ignorance. Now there is space within objects and objects within space. Remember that. Now violence is a type of action, and it is often misdirected. Whatever violence you did because you thought it was good and met a worthy end then. Therefore, be careful of those ideas that you entertain now and what you will do to defend them. No one ever does violence for something he considered unworthy. The most bloodthirsty acts have been done because men believed themselves right and so they killed to uphold their worthy ideas. So be playful with your ideas and what you believe, for no idea is worth killing for in your terms. Now there was quite a bit more to that particular drama, and it will come to you, and 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 to you. And above all, to you. Rachel, were you there, Seth? Seth, I was indeed. Rachel, at the campsite? Seth, I was at the center of the campfire, and Rupert was there in another guise. Rachel, male? Seth, he was indeed. Rachel, thin, tall? Seth, he led you there at one previous class session. Bet. Seth, did I give her a drink out of a gourd? It was a split gourd, and I offered her this drink before she had to leave. Seth, you did indeed. Natalie, was I there as a young boy? Seth, you were. Now, what you have been and what you are, as you know, one. So learn from what you are. To Arnold, and you have closed your mind to your own role, but we will get to it as far as our African God is concerned. Arnold, was I involved in this episode? Seth, you were not involved in this episode. Now, you have also been involved in episodes that are not so bloody, you see. But to you at that time, these were not bloody episodes. They were intense encounters with good and evil as you understood them at the time. And when you acted according to your terms of good and evil. Therefore, be careful of those ideas now that you entertain of good and evil. Note, Beth said she felt a section of the campfire scene was missing. Seth, if I were you, I would not ask. Note, Samari came through after break. Seth, close your bones and listen to the timber that creaks through your note, lost word. You have been in this room for centuries, and while you sit here, civilizations have gone together and blown apart. Listen with that part of you that does not know sight or sound. Listen with that part of you who knows. Word lost, note. You have been here for centuries, and as you sit here in fleshly images, so has the flesh come and gone, and so are you free of it and independent of it, and not surprised by it or astonished. It makes no impression upon you, for it has come and gone. And so, as all things that have come and gone already begun, and in this beginning they change and alter, creativity once more arises, and you play your part in it, and you find yourselves embarked in a new world, in new sensations, in new encounters with self. Even though the sense even now passes away and you know where the future is behind you and the past that is yet to come, for the past is forever as new as the future, and in all things are their beginnings without endings, and even your ideas of endings rouse themselves and can never pass away. Now, as always, you are as eternal as you have ever been, as physical and as non-physical, as real and as unreal. You are bony structures momentarily looking out through eyes and seeing through pulses, yet you form the eyes and the pulses and the worlds that make them possible and the dramas that so intrigue you from the past and the present and the future. And yet in all these there are doorways, there are beginnings. That is, word lost. There is knowledge, and in all ancient things there are beginnings before births. There are images before thoughts. There are gods within gods. There are paths that you, words lost. Your bodies are ancient. The bodies that you inhabit have come and gone. The minds that are your own are new. The selves are new, but you have sat here for centuries. And in your aliveness springs the creativity from which all things are born, and the joy and vitality that gives life to all worlds. Note, after coming out of trance, Jane described the feeling of being a skeleton. Seth, be thankful for me, because I am so fleshy, and so are you all. And when the Samari come home, note to Rachel, I would like it if they stayed home for a while, which means that I would like to see you around for a while. Bet, was Rachel the waitress in this dumpy bar that you and I were in? Seth, I was never in a dumpy bar. Bet, was she the waitress that was waiting on us at the table that I saw what you did the other night? Seth, she was the waitress, and it was not a dumpy bar. Bet, and that is why she flirts with you in class, isn't it? Seth, it is one of the reasons. Rachel, our friendship here goes further than that. Seth, it is indeed. And it is of long standing, and I expect to see you around more. Note, Rachel, as soon as I get a job. Seth, I will get you a job, then shut up. I will see that you get one, then you will have to play other games. And now I bid you a fond good evening, and I will keep my eye on you while our friends are away. When the cat is gone, the mice will play. Florence, keep an eye on Jane and Rob. Seth, I will keep my eye out for them also. Our friend is worried over here, notes Rob. Now, I want you all, as Rupert said, to read the Seth material and get out your questions. And more than that, reread the Seth material and imagine my telling it to you. And look out for those pieces of information that you missed earlier, for they are important. Now I bid you a fond good evening, and I would wink at you, but it is beyond my dignity. Narrator notes, end of class session, end of volume 4, end of the published early class sessions.